You're listening to Colt Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast discussing Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron. We're back for our third podcast of the week. Yes, it's been a busy and exciting week as the season is underway. I'm joined by Rob Walker, Into the Calderon staff writer. Also his third appearance of the week. He's put in quite the shift. But we're discussing Atleti's 2-2 draw with Girona on Saturday evening at Montilivi. And things happened. Football was played, depending on your definition of football. 10-man Atletico fighting back from 2-0 down to earn a draw at the Liga Santander Minnows. We'll talk about the concerns raised by Atleti's defense and the hope generated by their substitutes, namely Angel Correa. We'll also talk about other things surrounding that game and the latest on Diego Costa, with reports circulating that Chelsea and Atletico have agreed a deal to bring Costa back to Madrid. How exciting. Can he play right back? Before we continue, I'd like to remind our listeners that you can like Into the Calderon on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon, and you can subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colt Gennaro Chat on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. Lastly, we have a Patreon page that is under construction. It will be up hopefully next week. It will give you an opportunity to give to the show like we give the show to you. We'll be back with Rob Walker.
That was a match that happened.
That was, can we call that football?
it was somewhere between football and rugby and
hilarity.
Something else.
Just
painful.
Comedy.
Yes.
With a little bit of pain. Yeah, when Jimenez scored the equalizer, I did like an Edna Krabappel laugh, like, ha! Like, I couldn't believe it.
Pretty much. Yeah, I'd almost feel bad for Girona, but I don't.
They should have won, honestly.
Probably, but that tends to be what happens with newly promoted teams. They don't have the focus for it, but...
So where do you want to start? The Griezmann red card?
that was exciting. I mean... Should we start with their goals? Do we even need to discuss the comedy club defending?
I mean, we'll get into that. I do want to start with the red card, though, and then we'll work our way back and then forward again. So, Antoine Griezmann sent off for the first time in his career, which is over 250 games in Spanish top flight. First time he's ever been sent off, and he was shown... I really do think it was two yellows. I saw someone from AS say it was just a straight red for dissent, but I think it was two yellows. I think I saw two yellows come out of Martinez Muenera's back pocket. Was it a dive?
It's hard to tell. I'm not convinced that it was. I think that Irazos tapped him on the foot with his left hand. Now, granted, it was very weak contact, if any at all. But I think that he did make contact with him with his left hand, but I could see how you could call that a dive. It's not totally unreasonable.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same ballpark. I think there was contact. I think it could have been a penalty, but Martinez Munera seemed very sure. He took like about 5 seconds to deliver it and then pulled out the yellow card. He seemed very sure that it was a dive. I can see the argument for it, but. And I don't know. It's not clear cut. I don't think it should have been a yellow card. But whatever Griezmann said, it got him pissed off real quick.
Yeah, he looked mad. He looked like he was giving him the old baseball umpire chew out.
Yeah, he said about three words, and like boom, that's it. You're off. And like,
I love how Torres was just standing there smiling at what he was saying. It was amazing.
He's like, yeah, you know you right. You know you're right.
You're right, Antoine.
You're never gonna get credit.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that was so. I mean, I think Irazoz's body may have blocked the view of the referee from seeing his hand make contact.
Like, it was a tough call. I mean, it was. I can see it either way. I personally don't think it was a dive. I think that there was contact and it could have been a penalty, but could have gone both ways. The call was whatever it was. Griezmann is facing a ban now, more than just one game, depending on what the referee's report says. Griezmann apparently went to the dressing room and apologized to him after the game. So hopefully that will mean just the one game for Griezmann, which is at Las Palmas next week.
Yeah, and that's going to be a little risky, but I mean, it was interesting how the team dynamic changed after he went off, though, for sure.
Yeah, is it that risky, though? Because Atletico finally played with urgency when he went off. It seemed like there were times when they were really forcing the ball to him, especially after they went behind 2-0. They started really forcing the ball toward Griezmann and basically daring him to pull some magic out of his, you know, out of his hat. And he had that overhead kick that came pretty close, but that was the one real moment where you could say Griezmann responded to that pressure. And he went off, though, and Simeone switched up everything. I want to talk about the new formation, the three at the back.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Cholo went to 3-4-3, then it was like 3-4-2, and Griezmann got sent off. But there was some renewed urgency, and it was really impressive the way that Atleti fought back here. I think you do have to give him credit for that.
Oh, big time, especially with 10 men to come back from 2-0 down is a big hill to climb, and they did it very well.
They did, and Angel Correa, the man at the center of that comeback, is the first goal just created out of nothing. Man, what a goal this was.
It was sensational. We've known for a while that he's able to do things like that, but this was the first sign that this season we may get to see a little bit more of his magic.
Hopefully. This was picked it up at midfield, dribbled past a few guys, just unleashed this thunderbolt from outside the box that Gorga had no chance at saving. Great goal.
Really, and it had great spin on it as well, so he really had no chance, the goalkeeper.
Oh, just perfectly struck. And then Atleti really tried to knock the doors down. Gaetan and Vieto had chances that, you know, Vieto's just went wide. It was from a tough angle, to be fair, but Vieto doesn't really have much credit in the bank, so to speak.
Right, and yeah. Carrasco, Gaetan and Correa created a good opportunity that Carrasco swiped at and missed, but whatevs.
He swung and missed at that one, like Matt Kemp swings at a slider in the dirt.
Yeah, that was a swinging strike there.
But just moments later, Correa wins a free kick about 28 yards out. Koke, wearing the captain's band, stands over the ball and swings in this free kick that Gorka, a little too eager to come out and punch away, hits Jimenez's head. He thumps it in, 2-2.
Yeah, that was a hard work goal, if there's ever been one.
That was a classic Atleti goal, and they don't often score from free kicks, though. It's usually from corners that we've seen the kind of the vintage Atleti set-piece goals, but Koke did a really good job on this ball, and Jimenez, right place, right time, and really a good job of anticipating what Gorka was going to do.
Yeah, and we talked about how Koke's set-piece delivery has been kind of left wanting the last couple seasons, so hopefully this may indicate that he's been working on it a little bit and that maybe there'll be a few better deliveries from him this season.
Yeah, let's hope. I mean, there were some, despite that first half, which we'll talk about, there were some good things to come out of this game, especially after Griezmann got sent off, which, coincidence or not, you know, things happened. Things happened, man. Football was played, and a draw
was... It was a crazy game.
A draw occurred.
A draw did occur, and, I mean, it's better than a lot of the draws that I normally get.
Yeah. Does three at the back have a future this season?
It's interesting, given the personnel that they have. I mean, I'm not positive it's awful, but I'm also not totally convinced that it can work all the time. I think probably who it may work for best is Jose Jimenez, because it kind of lets him do his good defensive midfielder things as well as still be a center back.
And have him shielded by someone like Lucas, who is a really, really smart defender, as we've seen.
And fast.
And Godin. Yeah, Lucas does have a lot of speed. It's an underrated part of his game. And Godin, who is kind of his mentor, who's his national teammate. I think it could. I mean, Simeone, I was not expecting him to do that, even in this game when Girona were so clearly superior for, you know, most of it. But I did not expect him to kind of go to that. It seemed like it was kind of a last resort, although maybe not, with the timing and everything when he went to it. But it was interesting, because I think Atletico did have some urgency. I think Atletico did have some zip to their game, some added flair to their game.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think that the red card energized them a lot, got them to fight in the normal way that we've grown accustomed to. And I think the changes also were quite good, kind of surprisingly. Three players that all needed an improvement this season, and Vieto was okay, but I thought Gaetan and Correa in particular were quite good.
Yeah, Gaetan had that one chance like almost immediately after the Correa goal that he just really hit it with the side of his foot, was blocked, not even close to coming toward goal, but And Vieto did have that chance, which...
He did.
And Atleti ended up getting the equalizer anyway, but... Very interesting substitutions, very interesting switch to his game plan. It's clear the game plan for this was to dare Girona to beat them, and that was a miserable game plan. Atleti played so negatively. But in the second half, you saw this renewed energy and this dynamism. I think we could see three at the back more, especially if Felipe gets rest, especially if Simeone wants to rest Rusalko or Juanfran or doesn't think either of them should play.
Yeah, I think with the lack of fullbacks that we have, it's not necessarily a bad idea. And because most of the Atleti players are fairly committed defensively, then it could work out with some more attacking players playing at wingback.
Should Angel Correa be starting from now on? I mean, early days, obviously, and it's just one game, but did he impress you enough to maybe give him a strong bid as a starter?
Well, I think he definitely will while Griezmann's gone. But I wasn't hugely impressed with Torres today. I don't think he offered much, if anything. I mean, he was fine, but he just didn't have that much of an impact on the game. So I think it'd be worth a go because he looked very, very good. He looked sharper than he did last season, I think, Correa.
He's going to get time. I mean, so many players are going to be or should be rotated in this first half of the season without anyone coming in because of the registration ban, as we've talked about so many times. But
yeah.
Torres, it was interesting. I think Torres was fine for what he did. And what he did was he played 70 minutes. He won a few headers, but didn't really have anyone to distribute to and didn't really get much distribution himself.
Yeah, I don't think he had a single shot in the match.
No, he didn't. Bad. Griezmann had one, but Griezmann only had 15 touches in 66 minutes, which is extremely low for him.
Yeah, and to be fair, that front two didn't get that much service at all, especially in the first half.
No, not really, because Atletico kind of played more of a 4-4-2 than a 4-3-3. They started out in 4-3-3, but then kind of didn't really know what they were doing for a while, and eventually made that switch to three at the back, which, honestly, I think it's going to give Simeone something to think about.
Yeah, I think so. I think it definitely worked better than the 4-4-2 does. I just don't think this team's set up to play that way
with anymore.
The players they have.
They're not set up to play that way anymore.
No.
They're just not, and Simeone realizes it. I really do think he does now. After a year or so of trying to force square pegs into round holes, I think he's realizing. He realized this really middle of last year when Atleti had that horrible run of form, and in like November and December. And I think he realizes now that okay, there are some pieces here that can't really play in this formation. So he's going to try to switch it up and see what he's got.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if he does stick with three at the back, what he does with the midfielders. We would hope probably to see a three in midfield. It'd be a very wonky-looking formation. It'd almost be kind of Bielsa-y with Chile with like the 3-3-1-3. That would be pretty awesome.
This team has to get more versatile. This team has to get younger. And there are tools to increase versatility and increase the roles of the younger players. There are those tools already in the team. Atleti are not in a situation where they have to go buy 6-7 young players. They're already here.
Yeah, just a matter of playing them. The young players look good. It was the older players which were the more concerning, I thought.
Yeah, let's talk about that now. From optimism to pessimism, that first half. That was horrible. There was nothing positive about that. Juanfran. I got to start with Juanfran. He's done as a meaningful contributor. He just is. He was well behind the pace. Adai just destroyed him on the right-hand side. Borja Garcia as well, when he got matched up with him. That was a matchup he lost. I mean, does Juanfran have any kind of future here?
I don't know if he can cut it as a fullback, because with the pace that's in La Liga these days, I mean, he's just going to get roasted if you have him at fullback. And outside of that, I don't know where you're going to put him. I mean, maybe if you need an emergency center back, but that would also be kind of nightmarish. So I think I can't see him being a starter in any kind of meaningful way anymore.
Like, they're bringing along Rusalko really carefully, which is smart. You don't want to throw him into 90 minutes of intense action right away after being almost 5 months out with his knee injury. But yeah, Juanfran has got to be done at this point as a starter. And when Rusalko gets to a point where he's healthy enough, where he's been brought along enough to where Simeone feels he can play 90 minutes, that's got to be it for Juanfran. even against a newly promoted side, he can't keep up. Imagine him trying to keep up with Sevilla and Villarreal and Barcelona and Real Madrid.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be a good player that's up against him. I mean, as long as they're fast, they can roast him every single time.
Pace and energy and enthusiasm, and that's really all you need to beat Juan Fran now.
It's bad. He looked really, really, really bad.
Like, Cholo never takes off his defenders, and he took Juan Fran off before the hour.
I'm glad that he did.
Yeah.
He needed to take him off at halftime. Otherwise, that would have been a real
big problem. He needed to take him off at halftime, but you know how grave the situation was when Simeone is making a move to juggle his back four at any point in the game, let alone before the hour. So, these are kind of dark days for Juan Fran. And I'm, you know, looking at this performance, obviously it's just the first week, but looking at this performance, I can't really say he's going to make 25 appearances this year. I didn't see anything good from him.
It honestly, if it kind of continues in this way, it wouldn't shock me if he was going to end up retiring at the end of the season, because, I mean, he just seems really physically down. I mean, he just dropped off a cliff from what he used to be at.
And it happened pretty quickly, too. Like,
really fast.
Early last season, you could see Juan Fran was not at the same level, and it's just getting worse for him. So that is sad, because he's a legend, and he's been at the heart of so many great moments in the Simeone era, but it's time to move on. And as loyal as Simeone has been to him, as loyal as he's been to the guys that helped him win Europa League that first season, got to move on. Got to start thinking longer term here. You have Rusalko in the squad. He's been declared fit, although he may not be fully fit if he's not starting here. You have Rusalko, who's your long-term replacement. It's time to make that switch.
I think next week, regardless of what you do, you can't play Juan Fran. Either play Rusalko in a four or play a three at the back, and just don't have either one of them in the team, I think. That's the risk you got to have.
Juan Fran at this point is, it's sad to say, but at this point he's a liability.
And we don't want to see Juan Fran get roasted because he's bad now. We want him to go out being the legend that he is.
Right.
So I'd rather not see him get roasted every week.
Exactly. Speaking of players who got roasted, Stefan Savic, one of your personal favorites, and mine.
Oh, yes. Oh, it was glorious. That first goal, man. He's a big old man, but he got shrugged off like he was a little kid.
He's a big old man. He played really small there.
That's his best trait.
The troubling thing about Savic's performance today was this is like the ideal situation for him. He's not next to Godin, who also has no pace. He's playing next to a younger, kind of wilder player who he's supposed to kind of rein in and lead from back line, but Savic instead kind of wilted here. That's really kind of concerning, because these are the only situations where he should be starting are when Godin is rested or suspended. Did not take that opportunity today.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Savic. I mean,
he's not good.
He just has not been good in quite some time.
He's just not good. I mean, he's slow. He's tactically, he looks uncomfortable. And he got muscled off the ball by Christian Stuani. And for that first goal was just so bad. He should have had that clearance. Like, no questions asked. He needs to clear that ball.
And you don't want to see Lucas Hernandez come flying in trying to clear it last second when, you know, Stefan Savic is the one going to win the header. And that doesn't make any kind of sense.
And you do that and Lucas completely vacates the left side.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it was really, really poor defending on that one. I mean, that should be his only really main area of strength, is winning aerial duels and pushing over guys because he's strong, but he did neither, so that's great.
He did neither. I guess the only thing you could say about his performance is that, I mean, he distributed the ball pretty well. He completed over 92% of his passes, and that has been a problem for him in the past. Last season, he would routinely struggle to get over 60, 70% completion, so that's good. But other than that, I mean, this is a troubling performance for Savic, because Simeone is going to rely on him somewhat to spell Godin every now and then. And he's probably going to play him. He's probably going to play them together at some point, which is going to piss me off. But Savic is going to be relied upon as that center back option behind Godin. And based on what we saw on Saturday, this is just not a really good audition for him.
Yeah, I mean, I would much rather it be either Jose Jimenez or Lucas going forward as the Godin partner, but I'm sure that we will see him with Stefan Savic for more than one game this season. It's going to be terrible.
It's going to suck. Speaking of Jose Ma, he had pretty much the classic performance. The classic Jose Ma performance today.
Man of the match, he got a goal and an assist.
Yeah, he basically scored an own goal at one end and then scored his own at the other. Yay.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess in a positive way, he made up for it.
That
was bad.
He didn't end up making up for it, but a ball came in from the corner, 25th minute. Jimenez heads away for a clearance, but he headed it right into Stuani's path, and he couldn't help but score.
Yeah, heading a low-paced ball into the 6-yard box, not a great idea.
Oh, no.
In general, bad idea.
He really cleaned up after that, though. He really ended up putting in a pretty good shift and, of course, scored the equalizer and was really emotional after he did it. Grabbed the badge, kissing it repeatedly, went right over to Simeone. He did make up for it.
But he certainly did.
But he needs to...
I think we can forgive him.
But he needs to be playing... This has been clear for, like, ever. But he needs to be playing next to a smarter, more experienced, more disciplined center half. Not Stefan Savic.
Yeah, the problem is Stefan Savic makes as many mistakes as he does.
Right.
But Savic is also not fast or technically as good, so...
Savic just makes his mistakes differently.
Yes. Yes, and doesn't make up for them either.
Yeah. It's got to be Godin and Jimenez if you're going to play Jimenez. It's got to be.
Yeah, I think so. I even think you could probably go for Jimenez and Lucas because I think Lucas is kind of a bit more of a disciplined player. That might be a little risky because they're both so young.
He's younger, but he is more disciplined. I wouldn't be averse to that. And he does have pace.
Yeah, I think Lucas put in a very good shift today in an awkward spot where he played basically two positions.
He did. He had to kind of drift over to the middle a lot to help out the Savic Jimenez horror show. He really had, and eventually he was just made a center back when Atleti shifted to 3-4-3. And he played well, and he got credit for that assist on the Correa goal because he just knocked a simple pass to him before Correa did his thing.
Yeah, that's a fake assist.
It's a fake assist. I mean, I'm looking at the Who Scored page right now. Who Scored gave him credit, so...
I'm sure they did, but that's still a fake assist. As much as I love Lucas, that's not real.
But no, he played well, and he often does play well. He got fouled a ton today, too.
Yeah, he had like two clashes of heads throughout the match as well towards the end.
He got fouled a lot, and he got a yellow card, but he managed to hold it down until then. He managed to keep things in check after that. He could have easily gotten sent off.
How he was the one of the three of Jose Jimenez, Stefan Savic, how he was the one that got a yellow card.
I don't know.
It's unclear.
But this was a concerning game for Atletico's defense. I mean, to be fair, no Felipe, no Godin. So those are your two best defenders. And they were missing. So that kind of inflates things a bit, but there are concerns here. Juan Fran can't be playing anymore, really. Stefan Savic can't be playing unless it's an emergency. Lucas should probably be a center back. There were issues here that, Jan Oblak had to clean up. Jan Oblak was amazing in this game, by the way.
As he always is.
He
is the most consistent, and he's amazing.
He made three legitimately, world-class saves. Even though it was against Girona, a newly promoted team who should not be troubling you this much, Oblak made some amazing saves.
Especially towards the end of the match, there were some pretty nerve-wracking moments where he bailed them out big time.
He made the stop on Coyote in a stoppage time, just left-handed, potted away.
He gets down reflexes. So fast, it's ridiculous.
He's so athletic, and he plays so big, and he is so long and limber, and he's great. I love him. And he made that save on Coyote. He made another one when Girona almost made it 3-0 at the end of the first half. I think it was Stuani tried the overhead kick. And then was it Maffeo or was it Boyer Garcia? One of them had the ball settle back down to them and just couldn't get their footing right. And Oblak had it was like in slow motion. Oblak kind of crept over and snagged the ball.
Yeah. He does make things look like they're in slow motion a lot of the time just because he moves kind of slow to begin with, but he always gets there.
He's amazing. And neither of the goals were his fault. You can't really blame him for either one of those. I mean, just both defensive errors.
Maybe the first one, but definitely not the second one.
Definitely not. I mean, even the first one, though, you can argue that Savic should have cleared it.
Yeah, he should have. But, I mean, I do wonder. He probably could have. He'd be disappointed with that one, you'd say, but... The second one certainly was not his fault.
And eventually he would he would pretty much save Atleti's bacon in this one with those saves.
Oh, big time.
So that was a great performance from him. A word on Yannick Carrasco. Underwhelming opening weekend for him.
Looked a lot like last season.
Looked a lot like last season's Carrasco. Picked up a yellow card, waved his arms in frustration a few times, had a one decent shot attempt, and basically called it a day.
Yeah, very weird game. He certainly... He didn't make as much of an impact as an Angel Correa, for example, which is concerning. Because yeah. You would expect that Carrasco would be able to make his mark on this game, especially after Griezmann went off. You'd yeah. think that he would be able to assert himself a lot more.
You think that no. would be his time, but no, it was Correa's time, and thank God for that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have expected that going into this match.
Gabby was subbed off about 20 minutes from time, which you don't often see him subbed off, but I think it's going to happen more this season as he just turned 34 and you're going to want to conserve his minutes for, you know, for the winter break and beyond. I think we're going to see Gabby subbed off a little bit, which can be risky because Gabby is really important still to how Atletico play. But you got to juggle that with, okay, he doesn't really have any reinforcements. His reinforcement today would have been Tomas, and Tomas was suspended.
Yeah, it was a weird performance from Gabby. I mean, I thought he was solid as usual. He didn't connect with a lot of his forward passes.
No, his long ball delivery wasn't very good.
Yeah, he didn't look so good on the forward passes. But he was good in terms of what Atleti needed him to do, keep the ball moving. But I'm glad that he was subbed off, honestly. I think it's good that they conserve him because they'll need him throughout the whole season.
And we talked about this on our last pod on Thursday and even earlier, even farther back than that. Koke kind of assuming a leadership role, a midfield general kind of role, which he did when Gabby went off. He took the captain's band, and less than 20 minutes later, he ended up delivering the assist for the equalizer. That's what we need to see from him.
That captain's armband looks real nice.
Well, Simeone,
it looks nice on Koke.
Simeone and the club's board agree with you. That's why they gave him that huge-ass contract.
It looks real nice on him, gotta say.
But he took advantage, and that's the kind of Koke we need to be seeing this season. Him taking control when Atletico are behind, when Atletico need inspiration, he needs to be the guy barking out those orders when Gabby isn't there.
Yeah, and I think this was a good sign. It was a good ball in for the equalizer, but I think he played well. I mean, on the wing, which we know he's not very good at playing on the wing, he still looked pretty decent playing a left midfield role, which was utterly weird.
Yeah.
But he still made it look not awful. Certainly not the worst wide player for Atleti in that match.
Certainly not. A word on Girona. Again, I think that they were really good, and they deserve to win. And if they keep playing like this, they're going to stay up. They were really organized. They played five at the back, and they weren't afraid. They didn't look like they're going to be afraid of anyone. I thought they were really impressive. Pablo Maffeo, particularly at right back, thought he... just 20 years old, played a very mature, responsible game, very dangerous going forward, really good in distribution. And Stuani, of course, got the brace. I mean, looking good for Girona. They have a lot to be happy about, despite the draw and despite blowing the 2-0 lead against a team with 10 men.
Yeah, they have some good first division experience players. Obviously, Stuani and Muniesa were in the Premier League last year, and Muniesa was at Bilbao for 20 years, it seems like. Yeah. So
Muniesa was really good too.
Yeah, he was very good.
Very good.
He was fairly underrated in the Premier League as well, I thought.
Yeah, he showed his quality, and they do have some talent here, and they have that investment from Man City coming in, so who knows, they could be the next team to receive that kind of injection of cash.
Yeah, aren't they owned like partially by Pep Guardiola's brother or something like that? The commentator said something about that.
It's a really weird kind of arrangement, but like Pep's brother owns it, and then he has a connection with City Football Group, and they have, like, if Girona got to the top flight, they were going to have an agreement to buy them, and it's a really kind of strange, I'm not sure how entirely legal it is, situation.
Yeah, it sounds like kind of a wink-wink, nod-nod thing going on here. Because they do have several Man City loanees.
Yeah, which, not a coincidence.
No, certainly not.
Certainly not. So, that was a game of football that happened, and I do want to wrap up on this. throughout the week, Atletico in the press conferences said it was important to get off to a good start this season. Cannot have the slow start they had last year. They started with two draws last year. They've started with one already this year. Madrid and Barcelona are still to play. Real Madrid played Deportivo tomorrow night. Barcelona played Real Betis just before that. If they both win, is the title race already over?
No. I think if Atleti had lost and they both won, then I would have said that it probably is. Draws aren't very good either, but I think it was important that they didn't lose this game. And going down to 10 men, 2-0 down, I didn't expect them to draw at all. But I think it's important that they did. I hope that this will energize them and kind of wake them up a bit, that they're only able to draw against a newly promoted team. But I don't think it's entirely over, but it could be, because you really can't drop any points
in this league. They were already 4 points back after 2 weeks last season, and they ended up going top very briefly in October, but then after that just really fell off and ended up not coming really close to the top two. And there was talk that this season could be different with Barcelona's injury and institutional issues, and next week Atleti are at Las Palmas. That is, I believe, a Saturday night game. Yeah, Saturday night next week.
Yeah, I mean, I think losing really would have been a real stinger for Athletic, but I think that, you know, Barcelona and Real Madrid will draw at points this season, so I don't think it's an unassailable lead that they'll have. If they probably will win tomorrow, because Depor are bad, and Betis are also fairly bad.
Oh, Betis, so, I don't know about Betis. Watch out for them this year.
They might be okay.
Betis, I think, are going to be...
Depor are straight bad.
Yeah, they are, though. Betis, I think, are going to be in the top half this year. They have a really nice team, I think.
We shall see on the old Betis, but I don't think that they'll beat Barcelona.
Yeah, maybe not tomorrow. Yeah.
If I had to guess.
Yeah, maybe not tomorrow. But,
That'd be nice, though.
So, mattress maker of the match?
Gotta be Oblak for me.
I'm going to go with Correa.
All right. I would accept that as well.
Yeah, as many good saves as Oblak made, I got to go with Correa.
That goal really re-energized the team, I think, in a big way, because it was such a great goal as well.
Back-to-back league games he scored in, Rob. We're getting a streak starting.
Woo! Yeah, I mean, if you can call that back-to-back.
He's hot right
now. That's a long back-to-back.
Let's end on a Diego Costa note. News broke this morning, per Ondacero, that Atleti and Chelsea have reached an agreement for Costa's return. The fee is reportedly 45 million euros plus a further 10 in bonuses, which would shatter Atleti's transfer record, which was 40 million for Radamel Falcao. Rob, your thoughts?
That's a deal, I think, because Chelsea were asking for 60 million just a couple of days ago, essentially. Yeah. So
it was 65 million.
45, not bad.
Throughout, it looks like we're finally coming toward the light at the end of the tunnel here, and Costa is going to come back to Atletico.
But also, briefly, will Lucas Hernandez give up the number 19 to him?
Ooh,
is that even allowed?
That is a good question. I remember when Torres came back, Mandzukic was wearing the number 9 shirt, so Torres had to wear 19. I don't know what number Costa would wear.
Yep, 9's not there, 19's not there. What low numbers are available?
Let me take a look at the squad here.
Yeah, we gotta have a look at the squad numbers.
I can't. Yeah, so if Costa is indeed coming back and the 19 shirt's already taken,
he could be number 4.
Number 4? Well, then he would have to play right back.
Yeah, exactly.
Then he could be the emergency right back. 18 is available.
Yeah, I could see that.
I guess he'll take that. And 23 is available.
Well, I mean, you know, 18 is 9 times 2, so, you know, kind of strikery.
And it's his second stint at Atleti. I see what you did there.
Yeah, well,
that's
I think either way, Lucas would give it up next season.
Yeah, they'd make him give it up.
Yeah, he'll be all right. He could be 4. I mean, that would make more sense.
Yeah, yeah, it's true, because he is a defender. But this is finally, it looks like we're reaching the light at the end of the tunnel. And
hallelujah.
Yeah, seriously. No kidding. This has dominated my life for 2 months. I'm glad it's almost over. It looks like it is almost done, though. And Chelsea are going to get close to the fee that they wanted. They wanted as much as 65 million. at one point, and that one point was supposed to be somewhat recently. While Atletico were unwilling for the longest time to go over 30 million, they eventually went up to 38 million, 40 million. It looks like they're going to compromise at about 45 million with 10 million in bonuses.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I do wonder if there's going to be some kind of, because most of the details of deals don't come out, but I do wonder if there'd be like some kind of structured payment plan of that over like the course of a few months, since Atleti are a little low on the cash at the moment.
It's contingent on that, and it's contingent on a Vieto sale, I think. I think I mentioned this before, that if you sell Vieto for 15, 20 million, you'll have about 90 million euros coming back this summer. You'll be spending close to that in bringing in Costa and Vitolo. You'll be able to say you can turn a profit, and that's important for, at least if not for Atletico's image, it's important for their finances.
And not truly selling any major players.
Yeah, and it looks like they're going to get out of this with Oblak staying, Griezmann staying, and Lucas staying. And yeah, so we'll talk more about that when the deal becomes official and all the repercussions and all the configurements. Is configurements even a word?
Configurements. Configurations?
Configurations. Thank you. I cannot English today.
And all it's a weird language.
All the configurations and everything that will come from Costa's return. But that will be for another podcast. In the meantime, we'll close the book on this particular edition of Culture Neuro Chat. Rob, thank you so much for joining me today.
It was a pleasure, as always.
You can follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. That's rwalk03. You can follow me on Twitter at jbberen. That's jbberen. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon, and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Also, listen and I always mess this up. Also, subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Culture Neuro Chat on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. And as a final note, be on the lookout for our Patreon page. It is still under construction. Should be up this week. We'll let you all know when it is. You can give to the show like we give the show to you.
It's on the way.
Be on the lookout, folks. All right, we'll be back next week. Until then, adios.